So if you got your Bibles, open them up to 1 Peter chapter 4. Should be on the screen as well, I believe, but one of the things that we value here at New Life is Bible literacy, being able to navigate your Bible and know what the Bible says is an important thing, but knowing how to navigate it. And there's a lot of people that have grown up in church that don't know how to navigate in the Word of God. And so that's one thing that our kids' ministry values, and they work very hard at teaching the children to know the books of the Bible, where they're at, and be able to navigate it easily. And so that's one of the things that I love about Callie and her team downstairs is they do a great job with that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 and through 9 tells us this: "The end of all things is very near. Now, in response to this, how should we live? First, above all else, keep your love fervent and alive for each other, because this love will cover a multitude of sins. And remember to be hospitable and friendly to each other. Do all of this without what? Without complaining or grumbling," right? So what should we, you know, it's fascinating. When I first started reading that, I thought, oh man. And it might have popped in your head, but the idea of, oh, he's going to talk about the end times. No. But we can all agree, probably pretty unanimously, that we're definitely living in those times, right? As we see it approaching, it says that all things are very near. And as a response to that, so what should we as followers of Christ focus on in the days that we're living in? We're living in evil times. We're living in hard times. So how should we be living, especially as we see the Lord's return approaching, right? How should we be living? We know that Jesus has promised that he's going to return for his church. We know that that's a promise that we can stand on. And we know that life is hard sometimes, a lot of times, right? Would we agree with that? If you agree with it, say uh-huh. So how should we as followers of Jesus live? Well, 1 Peter 4 gives us some strange priorities, but I like them. Above all else, it says, keep your love, what does it say? Fervent for each other. That's a weird word. You guys ever use that kind of word in your everyday language? Oh, I just love you fervently. Oh, my fervent love for you. No, we don't, right? I'm just fervent, right? No, we don't use that word. I had to look that word up. Excuse me. It means white hot heat brought to the melting point. Yeah, whoa. So somebody comes up and says, "I love you fervently." If it's not your spouse, run. Yeah, right? Right? No. It means to really care about people. The genuine, sincere, fervent love. Okay? I love you. You know, we've talked about this in the past that in the American culture, the word love has really lost its fervency. Right? It has lost its potency. It's lost, because it's like, oh man, I love cheeseburgers. But I don't love them with white hot heat. Unless there's like jalapenos on it or something. But does that make sense? And so Peter is really talking about the trueness and the authenticity of love. Okay? What else does it say? "And remember to be friendly and hospitable to one another without complaint." How many of you guys, this is going to be good. How many of you guys, with the anticipation, and I'll use that word, anticipation of Thanksgiving, were just excited about opening your home to everybody? Raise your hand. Without complaining. Huh? There's a few of you. There's a few of you. I have a confession. We, I love Thanksgiving, and I love Thanksgiving being my family, right? And I don't necessarily like having 1,000 people in my home, especially after I've been sick all week. But we had Charity's youngest sister, Lois, and she just had a baby on Sunday. That was number 7, and all at our house yesterday. Number 7. And that just takes a whole special level of energy. I just don't know how. How many have come from big families? This is a total tangent. Okay, how many had 4 siblings, at least 4 siblings? Raise your hand. Keep your hands up. How many had 5? 6. 7. 8. 9. 10? 11? 10 siblings? 10. You were number 10. You were the baby. Man. So Charity comes from, she's 6 of 9. Sounds like Star Wars reference or Star Trek. She's 6 of 9. I'm 1 of 3. And I'm the true definition of the middle child syndrome. But we had 12. So we have 6 and she has 7. So there was 13 people in my house yesterday. And I don't know if I did it without complaining. Hopefully my wife doesn't listen to the message on the... No, it was a joyous time. It was cute to see the little baby. And then it was cute to see the baby go home. But she's a cutie. It was a lot of fun. They're a great family. It was good. So remember to be friendly and hospitable. That was a total tangent. To one another without complaining. So in other words, he's encouraging you to have people over. Have friends over for dinner or lunch or coffee. But be hospitable. And don't do it out of obligation. Do it out of love. Does that make sense? So Peter's really talking to us about taking care of one another. Okay? Especially as we see the time is approaching. Over and over in the New Testament, when it talks about the end times, the Scripture also directs us to be more purposeful in taking care of one another. We're supposed to take care of each other, right? That's one of the things about the body of Christ that should be evident. And that people should understand that we're the body of Christ and know we're the body of Christ because of how we treat each other and how we treat other people. That's what Peter's really breaking down here for us, right? So I kind of wrestled back and forth what to title the message, but I entitled it one of Christianity's most ignored messages is encouragement. Turn to your neighbor and say, be encouraged. Anyone know the definition of encouragement? Somebody give me a definition. What is the definition without Googling it? What's the definition of encouragement? Cheer someone on. What's that? Uplifting. Somebody else. Positive reinforcement. That sounds militant. Yeah. What else? What's another definition of encouragement? Hope. Somebody else? Encouragement. To be encouraging. Well, if you notice the word encouragement, what word is in the middle of it? Courage. Courage, right? So encouragement means to put courage into. Literally, that's what it means. In other translations of the Bible, it uses words like exhort or comfort. But it all means to encourage, to put courage into. That's what encouragement means. Let me read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, encourage each other And do it even more often as you see the day of the Lord's returning coming closer. There's always that hand in hand. Do you ever notice that? So let me take a survey really quick. How many of you were raised in a super encouraging home? Raise your hand. Keep them up. Look around. Look around. Look at the hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I would say it's safe to say that maybe a fourth of everybody here today raised their hand. Now, that doesn't, go ahead and put them down. That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me a bit. Because statistically, it should have definitely been less than half. And that strikes me, when I read that statistic, I thought, it's got to be higher than that. But you start thinking about, I started thinking about this whole thing. This last week, as I was sitting at home, and I was just thinking about the whole thing of encouragement. You know, we're thankful for a lot of things. We're in that thankful season. And hopefully being thankful for things is more of a lifestyle than just once a month or on the month of November. But just what encourages? I had several of my dear friends found out that I was not feeling well this week, and they were just sending me texts of encouragement and stuff. And that's where this all kind of came from. And I just started thinking about me growing up. And it's like, I think most of us find it hard to encourage others, especially the way that we want to. I think there's a desire for us to want to be encouraging, right? But I think we struggle a little bit with it because we didn't grow up in a home that was encouraging, right? Like in my household, my dad was a great provider. He was a hard worker. He was a perfectionist. He was a lot of things that were good, but he wasn't an encouraging person. And he would admit that. It was, you know, when you were doing something, he found it easier to find the things that you were doing wrong than he did finding the things that you were doing right. Now, that doesn't make him an awful person or a horrible human being. He didn't know how to encourage. Now, there are people that, and we all know these people, that God just gifted them as encouragers. And I say those are a gift from God to teach us how to be encouraging. And find those people in your life and hover around them, because it will rub off on you. It really, really will. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I didn't grow up in an encouraging home. And I remember when I was a young man going, you know what, I'm going to parent a whole lot different. Anybody ever feel that way when you're growing up? I'm going to treat my kids so different. Anyone? I'm the only one. There's a couple of us, right? I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to, oh my goodness. But can I just tell you a secret that I've learned in my short life? It's not that short. Is if you're going to sustain change, start practicing it now. Does that make sense? Because once you have kids, I'm going to tell you, kids don't make you more spiritual. If somebody told you that, it ain't true, right? It'll definitely drive you to your knees a whole lot more. But it doesn't make you spiritual. More spiritual, right? Excuse me. But if you want to change, and we're talking about encouragement. If we want to be an encourager, it's not something that's just going to happen, right? It's just not. You've got to practice it. And if you want to be an encourager later on in life, then you need to start practicing it now and gathering yourself around people to be an encourager that are encouraging. Does that make sense? And so it's important that we understand that. And we're not, you know, like I said, just because you're not encouraged, that's one of those things. I always said that I was going to be an encourager, and then I grow up and I realize that I'm not an encouraging person, and I've had to really, you should have seen me 10 years ago. I'm a lot better now. I practice it now. But I was the type of person that just, you know, do what you say you're going to do. And if you're doing things for encouragement, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. And that was kind of how I felt. But, you know, that's not healthy either, right? And it's like God started convicting me years ago about that aspect of it. I like to be encouraged. Does anybody like to be encouraged? You know, we don't do nice things to necessarily get that acknowledgement or anything like that, but we like to be encouraged. And it's like, so for me, I want to be encouraged like I want to encourage people like I've been encouraged. That's probably a better way of saying it. I've had people in my life that are fabulous at encouraging me. And fortunately, a lot of those people, they're a gift from God. They really, really are. And they just see, they're not a glass half empty people. They're a glass half full. And that's a blessing. And so he's agreeing with me. I'm on now. Hey, Ren. Hey, buddy. He's preaching. He's gonna be a preacher someday, maybe. But does that make sense? So we need to practice that. That's not something. Some people are born with it. Those of us that aren't, we need to practice it. So because you're not gonna do things differently in the future if you don't practice being different now. Okay, Bible head challenge. Where's my New Life kids? Get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out. I'm going to give one candy bar out. It's a Twix, so you can share if you want. But Bible Hub Challenge, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 3, 12 and 13. First one, get the Bible head on. I'm looking. Hebrews 3. Boom, I see it in the back. Woo! That was fast, bro. Good job. There you go. All by herself. No help. Keep your Bible handy, dude. What does it say? Let's read it together, can we? It says, be careful to make sure none of you believers... We're not reading it together. Let's try this again. Be careful to make sure none of you believers get an evil heart of unbelief that eventually makes you depart from knowing the living God. That is an interesting thing. And it goes on to say this. Do I have the second part? There it is. Instead, keep going, make it a point to what? Encourage each other every single day while we still have days left on earth, here on earth. Every single day. But doesn't that seem extreme? To encourage. And then it finishes up. I keep forgetting this part. Let's read this. Keep going. Do this so none of you become hardened through the deception of sin. Isn't that interesting? That last part. Encourage everyone every single day so you will not become hardened through the deception of sin. Now, I heard this statistic a while ago. And it was, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it takes 7 positive statements about you to reverse 1 negative. 7 positive to reverse 1 negative. Isn't that crazy? I think that's a biblical concept. How many of you guys have grown up in life or know people that have grown up that are just hard people? They're just negative Nellies. Just, you know anybody like that? And I've grown up knowing people like that, and I wondered what in the world has gone on in their life to make them that way. And I just wonder what their growing up life was like. Now, I remember, again, growing up, my dad was a loving guy. Now, I'll tell you this, my dad, God did something amazing in him a few years ago, probably about 15 years ago, and he is the most encouraging person around now. But growing up, he was not. it was, like I said, he was quick to find the things that you did wrong and focus on those and not the things you did right. And so now he's different. And he practices, right? He practices. And I think that's the key. But I think so often we get so stuck around negative all the time that it's like that whole adage of what you put garbage in, you get garbage out. And if that's all that you're digesting is negative all the time, that's what's going to start seeping out, right? Is negative. And then you get hardened. And that's the thing. Do this. Encourage people. Be an encouragement to somebody every single day. I don't care what it looks like, but be encouraging to them. Because what it's doing is it's fighting the hardness in our own lives, right? It's breaking it apart. It's like WD-40 on rust, right? It starts to break it up so we don't fall into the deception of sin. Now, there are, again, so many people out there that are naturally encouragers, and I love them. And one of them is in my life is Pastor Kevin. He was my boss in Libby, my lead pastor. He was just an encourager, and he's still, to this day, he'll shoot a text once in a while towards me, and he'll say, "Hey, bro, praying for you. I hope you're doing well. You're a great man of God." Just comments like that. And it's just like, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel like I can take the next mountain, right? It's like, man, come on. And so we need those people in our life. Jesus himself was a constant encourager. Check this out. He said, "Be of good cheer. You'll overcome the world." Come on. That's a good thing. Talking to the centurion, "I've never seen such great faith in all of Israel." That's encouraging, right? To Mary, when she poured oil on his feet, "Whenever the gospel is preached, what you are doing right now will be recorded." That's encouraging. To the widow who put only a mite into the offering, "This humble lady's offering is greater than that given by many rich people." To Peter, "Other people call you Simon," which means little pebble. Ain't that encouraging? "Hey, little pebble. But I believe in you, boy." That's rough translation. "I'm changing your name today to Peter," which literally means big boulder. No longer is he a little pebble. He's a big boulder. Imagine how Peter felt. You know, it's weird. I'm glad that I didn't live back in those days where names really defined you so much, right? I mean, you think of people like Jacob, which meant what? Anybody know? Deceiver. Hey, deceiver, come here. That makes you feel really wanted, doesn't it? Simon means little pebble. I just like, oh, that's good, a self-esteem builder, right? I think it's crazy. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I thought about thinking about that. This is where my brain works. It's one thing to know that God is for you, right? But it's another whole thing to know that your Christian brothers and sisters are really there for you. Think about that for a second. I mean, we know that Jesus is for us. And if Jesus is for us, who can be against us? But how comforting and how encouraging is it to know that the people on this side of the building and this people on this side of the building are really there for you? Right? Something that builds your faith, something that grows it, something that gives you strength and stamina to get through. Right? Time out. Speaking of which, be praying for Tom and Deb Miller. And reach out to them, not all in hordes, but reach out to them because Deb's mom passed away yesterday of a massive heart attack. And that's hard enough as it is. So be praying for Deb specifically, but their whole family in this time of loss. And let's love them and care for them. Does that make sense? And just be praying for her. That's a tough situation. We tried to get that on the prayer line yesterday, and it was fighting us. But we just want to love them, right? And we just want to let them know that we love. And I, you know, I was thinking about this too yesterday. Is, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be really dumb. I mean, really, really dumb. And I struggle learning things sometimes. I tend to be the type of person that God has to bring out the spiritual 2x4 and say, boy, I'm going to teach you something. Bink, right? And I think that, I think the Lord knew that we as human beings are going to find it much easier to change when the right behavior is reinforced than when the wrong behavior is just nagged on. Does that make sense? I see that. I mean, you look at how he was and what Scripture looks, and you read through Scripture. I think it's a huge encouragement principle that the Lord put deep inside of us. And that principle is this: whatever gets rewarded gets repeated. Right? Think about that. Think about that for a bit. Parents, think about how you've raised your kids. And whatever gets rewarded gets repeated, whether it's a negative behavior or a positive behavior. Right? You know, I think of how they train animals. You know, training our dogs, but training any animal, it's you reward that behavior, right? It's remarkable to me, and I was thinking about that, and I think that's an absolute spiritual encouragement principle. Let me illustrate this. Can you come help me? All you got to do is carry something. We're going to gently carry that over here. Here's an object lesson for my New Life kids and for all the adults. All right. Hopefully this is going to work. All right, perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. It's close to Christmas. Don't judge me. If I could have found pumpkins like this, I would have. Because it's Thanksgiving. All right. So, here's what I'm going to do. Everybody cross your fingers for me and see if this works. Okay, I'm going to swing that one. Now watch this one. Now watch this one. It worked. It's kind of like encouragement, right? This one started to be encouraging. And this one was close, and it had energy, and it picked it up. And then it continues to do this, right? And it'll just keep going until, and then it matches. That's how encouragement is, right? Don't you love being around people that are massively encouraging? Because it makes you feel good, right? It makes you feel valued. And it makes you want to go and do that to somebody else, right? It's that whole, there was a movement for years about paying it forward, right? And that whole thing just generated more and more and more. And the funny thing about it is the world calls it paying it forward. The Bible calls it fruit of the Spirit, right? Kindness, gentleness, right? Love, patience. And so it's like that. We want to be around people. And we need to be around people, and we need to be people of encouragement. Because encouragement has energy. And it has this forward momentum, and when you're around it, you begin to want to be it. And pretty soon you're matching it. And then all of a sudden that person that had encouraged you before needs encouragement. And then you encourage. And then you need encouragement. Does that make sense? And so, man, what gets rewarded gets repeated. So, and I love people. I love people that, and there's, I could list people in this congregation that have a gift of seeing the best in you. They see the best in people. They see the potential in people, and they speak it, right? It's that speaking life into people is amazing. And that's what, I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be. I want to be that person that sees the best in people and sees their potential. And I want to speak that encouragement to them and be an encourager. But I know from my own life that takes practice. I need to practice that. I need to put it into motion. And when that happens, and not because I'm trying to, because I think if you're trying to encourage somebody giving them compliments and stuff like that to try to get back, all that makes you is a selfish, self-centered person. But to truly see the goodness in somebody and to see the potential and the best in people and just say, you know what, man, Chad, I love this about you. You're such a giving, generous person with your time and your energy. And I mean it. When you mean it, that's different. But if you're just trying to suck stuff out of people, that makes you a selfish, self-centered person. And that's not what you want to be. Does that make sense? And so it's really important. But it's that principle of what gets rewarded gets repeated. It's like with our kids. If I want to see them act in good behavior, then I'm going to reward that good behavior. Right? And at first that's kind of like bribery, and I'm not above bribery with my kids. But what it does is it begins to establish character, and it begins to establish a behavior that sticks with them. Right? It's kind of like us with Christianity. It's kind of the same thing, right? We accept Jesus because we want eternal life. Right? Right? So you're dangling that carrot out there. But there's so much more. Right? It's so much more. And so what gets repeated, what gets rewarded gets repeated. So I want to share with you, just real briefly, God's encouragement cycle from the Word. You ready? Here's another Bible head challenge. I'm going to give 2 candy bars away this time. You ready, ready? Ready, Freddy? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, got one right there. Wow, that was fast, Gabby. I got one. Oh, and I see. Okay, I got Gabby and I got Brendan. There we go, buddy. And here's Gabby. Where's Gabby? Whoop. There we go. There we go. All right. Who was the third? I think, yep. I'm going to give a third one out. Not to you. You used your phone. Close is only in hand grenades and horseshoes, pal. All right, it reads this way. Paul tells us, blessings to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all encouragement. That kind of sounds like what we learned last week in the Lord's Prayer, right? He encourages us, Paul says, he encourages us when he does this so we can... Did I read that wrong? Do we have that scripture up there? No? I better look it up in my own Bible because I don't think it's right in my... That would be horrible. Pastor, who are you? Man. Sinus medications. 2 Corinthians 1. There we go. Very good. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Yeah, because I missed a whole spot right there. So, he comforts us. What does it say? Who comforts us in our times of trouble so that we can what? Comfort those in trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from our Lord. Right? So, here's the passage scripture. Encouragement cycle, step one, is to, I experience tough times. Right? We all experience tough times. That's a cycle in life. Right? It's a cycle in life. So step one. Step two, cycle, encouragement cycle, is God encourages me. And then number three step, encouragement cycle, is other people around me experience tough times. And step four is, we encourage those people with the same encouragement God give us. See the cycle? So I go through tough times, God encourages me. Other people experience tough times, I encourage those in their tough times with the encouragement that God gave me. I go through hard times, God encourages me. Or others. God uses other people to encourage us, right? It's a cycle that happens. And I found this quote from Mark Twain, and I love it. It says, I can live for a solid 2 months on one good compliment. How true is that, right? So, I experience tough times. God encourages me. Other people around me experience tough times. We encourage those people with the same encouragement that God gave us. And it's remarkable how much energy that encouragement has. And the thing that confuses me sometimes, I know what happens. I know that you have, there's an enemy of our soul that's over there going in the background going, no, you're just a worthless piece of trash. You know, nobody likes you. Blah, 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 blah. And we begin to feed on that lie, right? And it maybe it's not even the enemy. Maybe it's somebody in your own life that has spewed that poison at you. You're worthless. You're never going to amount to anything. You're not worth anything. Whatever that is. And it takes seven positive things to reverse one. It makes sense to me that why would we want to, man, we need to be encouraging people, right? It makes us feel good when we're encouraged. At least I do. And it's like, but why then do I have a hard time encouraging other people? Does that make sense? And I think this principle is such a valid principle that we need to grab a hold of. So I'm going to wrap up this morning by looking at one of Christ's most encouraging encounters with one of his guys, Peter. Right? We all know Peter. We all love Peter. We all probably identify with Peter. That he was zealous for the Lord, right? He was fired up for God. And he didn't even know that he was God. He was just happy to be on a team, right? And we all know the story, right? So, let me read out of Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 32. Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired that he would have you. And that word you right there is in the Greek, it's a plural pronoun, right? It's plural. That he would, Satan desires, has a desire that he would have you and sift you. Again, that you is a plural pronoun, just like wheat, right? And then Jesus says, but I have prayed for you. So when he's saying you plural, he's talking about you, not you, right? Is that you following? So he's making a grand statement there of Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But then Jesus says to Peter, but I have prayed for you, singular, right? So when you come through this and turn back again, strengthen and encourage your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Isn't that interesting? The devil wants to sift you, right? He wants to tear you apart. We know, Scripture tells us that we have an enemy of our soul that is roaring, roaming to and fro like a lion, seeking to whom he may devour. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy, right? We all agree with that? If we agree with it, say, uh-huh. But Jesus said that he prays for you individually, that you, when you get through whatever that is, that troubling, that sifting, that you would be strengthened and encouraged, not to just stand strong for yourself, but what did it say? Strengthen and encourage your brothers and sisters in the Lord. So when we come through tough times, and when we come through the garbage in life, we've relied on God, and God has encouraged us, then we take that encouragement and we share that with other people. We encourage our brothers and sisters. We strengthen them. That's what we do as Christ followers, right? That's what Jesus is saying right there. And not long after Peter, not long after this encounter, Peter denied even knowing Jesus, right? He abandoned Jesus during the crucifixion. So Jesus is saying, Satan's gonna sift you. He wants to destroy you, but I prayed for you. And then when you come through this, encourage your brothers and sisters and strengthen them. And then Peter flops horribly, right? He flops horribly. So then when Jesus comes, he's denied by Peter, and Jesus comes back to life after the resurrection. He's raised from the dead. Peter is understandably, and I think I would have been the same way, freaked out and feels extremely guilty, right? He's ashamed to even talk to Jesus. And the last thing that I want to find this scripture, John chapter 21. And I'm going to leave this with you. 21:15. Let's look at how Jesus after that, right? So he tells Jesus that in Luke, and then denies him, runs away, feeling guilty and shame. And then Jesus and Peter are back together again. And this is what he says. This is what Jesus says. Check this out. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, now, time out. So here's the crazy thing, right? What did Peter do after that? He went back to fishing, right? And he's out fishing and they caught nothing. And some dude standing on the shore saying, hey, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And he didn't even recognize that it was Jesus, right? You guys remember the story? And he's like, I can imagine Peter's going, yeah, whatever, dude. I've been fishing all night long. Yeah, I think he even said it. I've been fishing all night long. So he does it anyway, throws it over, and the boats were starting to sink with all the fish, right? So that's right before this, okay? So when he had finished eating the breakfast that Jesus had said made for Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, Jesus says, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said this to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So I leave you with this. The next time that you blow it, the next time that you say hurtful things instead of encouraging things. Remember that. Jesus was reinstating Peter. He knew that he blew it. And he's like, feed my sheep. Encourage people. Strengthen them. Encourage them from what you're learning through your sifting. Does that make sense? Stand to your feet with me. I hope that made sense. I wrote half of this under the influence of NyQuil. But I really believe, family, that we need to practice encouraging one another and being an encouragement, especially in the days that we're living in, right? And when we do blow it, let's remember that Jesus is there to encourage us and to strengthen us. And then again, then our responsibility is to strengthen and encourage our brothers and sisters. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your encouragement, your love for us. Your statements like, be of good cheer. And Lord, I just pray that we would just take it to heart what Peter was telling us, to care for one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, to build one another up. Lord, let us be a people of that. If there is a divine signature in our life as followers of Christ, let it be a signature of encouragement and affirmation, and not of nagging and negativity. Be glorified as we sing this closing song, Lord. Be glorified in our lives. Be glorified and lifted up in our words and our thoughts this week. In Jesus' name. And all of us said, amen. Let's sing together.